Hey everybody, welcome to Sex Talk. So, my name is Angel. I use they, she pronouns. I'm the sex educator and program administrator at Alberta Sex Positive Education and Community Center. You can find all kinds of incredible resources on their website. That's aspecc.ca. And I'm also a sexuality consultant. I do sex coaching. I help organizations develop more inclusive policies and practices, that kind of thing. You can check out my website at Shameless Consulting, shameless-consulting.com, and also at Empowered Hearts. So that's kind of fun. Anyways, there's lots to talk about. And I want to start off with, we have to acknowledge the not so invisible elephant in the room. Like, what the fuck with this pandemic? I don't know, like, are you folks as tired of this as I am? I just want people to do everything they can to mitigate the spread of the coronavirus so that we can just get over this already. And unfortunately, I don't think that's gonna happen in my province. I don't know where all my listeners are from, but feel free to drop me a line if you wanna talk about this episode or any other episode at gtfo.aspecc.ca. It's gtfo@aspec.ca, not dot. And, you know, add your voice. Tell me what's going on in your province or state. But right here in Alberta, our premier seems pretty intent on milking the idea that health measures are something that infringe on our rights. So I went and I took a look at the Canadian Constitution Act, otherwise people refer to it as the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and I can't find anything in there that protects us from the inconvenience of having to follow health measures to protect ourselves and other people. Pretty sure that's why we can have laws saying that we have to wear seatbelts and all that kind of stuff, but like, whatever. I understand. I really do. This is huge. It triggers a lot of emotions. We're all tired of it. Many of us, our livelihoods are being threatened by this pandemic. It's hard. And, you know, we're a nonprofit at ASPEC, and most of the money that I personally make outside of the cost of my rent and food ends up going towards ASPEC as well, because I'm passionate about it. I really believe in what the organization is trying to do, which is just create space for people to safely explore their own sexuality, to learn how to support other people in that diverseness that humans come in, and to better develop their understanding of boundaries and consent and healthy communication and that kind of thing. I think these things are really important to our physical and mental health. And the pandemic is definitely impacting us on every level. On the plus side, they did just finally decide that, you know, masks are actually mandatory, but our casinos are still open. And the bars are still open, but you're not allowed to have anybody who's not a part of your household come and visit. So it's very confusing. Not too sure what Premier Kenney is actually thinking in this, or if he's just doing the bare minimum so that the federal government, you know, doesn't decide to step in. Like, I don't know. I'm not a politician. But what I do know is we are a very small province. Geographically, we're large, but our population base is pretty small. There's 4.4 million people in Alberta. And, for example, BC has like 5+ million. Ontario, I think Toronto has 6 million, but Ontario has 14 million people. So like, when you start looking across Canada at what's going on COVID-wise, it's really important to recognize that in Alberta, we have 4 and a bit million, and in Ontario they have 14 and a bit million, and we have more cases every day than they do in Ontario. And we're not testing more. I can tell you that. So yeah, a little confused as to how people are comfortable with the numbers. As a nonprofit, we're really suffering financially. I'm very appreciative to the help the federal government has kicked our way, which wasn't very much. And the community has been incredible in trying to support the center, particularly while CURB was going. Now that CURB's not so much, we've seen a real decline in that, but we get it. This is inconvenient. Like, I want to go visit my grandchildren. I want to be able to go fly east and go see my sister. And I certainly want to be able to have gainful employment without having to fight for it. And I don't like wearing a mask. I have anxiety and asthma, and it's not pleasant. Like, I don't put on the mask and talk and go, oh, wow, this is fun. However, I also don't want my loved ones to die. And I don't want to die. And I don't want to poo-poo the long-term results that we're starting to see happen for people who have mild cases of COVID and then find out that it's impacted their liver or their heart, or they're having strokes, or, you know, they're chronically weak and all kinds of other issues going on. And I think it's going to be decades before we really know what COVID is doing to people that are exposed to it. And that scares me. It scares me that so many people are being casual about it. What we have seen, though, is a lot less action, I guess, in the pickup scene, the swingers scene, things like that. We've seen that quiet down a little bit, especially at first. And then it started picking back up, which is why we started getting messages from our health organizations, the BC Ministry of Health, the BC Center for Health and Disease Control, whatever they're called. They actually put out a post about how glory holes were a good idea during the pandemic because it creates a barrier between you and the person that you're interacting with to prevent you from having to breathe their moist breath. And believe you me, I was pretty titillated to see that. Dr. Tam also made some references, even talked about how we just need to avoid kissing, and if you're going to have sex, wear a mask, wash your hands, shower before and after, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, this is bizarre to me that we live in a time where public health officials are just casually and shamelessly sharing information on how to engage in sexuality and casual sex practices while reducing your risk of catching a dreaded virus. And I think that's incredible. And I love it. I love that these things are being openly talked about. If you'd like a list of those resources, if you go to the ASPEC website, again, that's aspecc.ca, and click on the blog, there's COVID, Sex and You, and there's a whole bunch of resources there. Videos you can watch, articles you can giggle over, like all kinds of things. So feel free to go check that out. And there's also under resources in the menu on our website, there is COVID and Sex, and it's also got a whole bunch of resources and information, including stuff for sex workers navigating COVID-19 and trying to reduce their risks, or clients who are seeking sex work and how to reduce their risks. So, I mean, check it out, because virus or no virus, we're still sexual beings and we still want to enjoy sex, and we need human contact, and isolation is so hard on us. So knowing how to reduce the risks as much as possible is, in my opinion, the best way to go forward with this, rather than shaming people for, you know, wanting to do the things. So do the things, but try to do the things safely. And that said, here in Alberta, at least, all the adult clubs have shut down. I know we're shut down. We're only doing things online right now. And that's due to the limit on social gatherings, whether it's business related or not. And I think it's very important to support those measures and move forward like that in a way that does support those measures. But I also know that just telling people that they shouldn't do something doesn't decrease the need we have for human contact. So it's all fine and good to be like, just stay at home, avoid people, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes we need that skin contact. And that's just how that is. So no shame. But that also means being responsible and looking for the information on how to reduce risks for yourself and the people that you're getting intimate with. So enjoy that. One of the things I noticed is it's really hard to get free condoms right now. So if you're in Alberta and you need condoms, we can arrange curbside pickup. We have condoms, internal condoms, dental dams, gloves, all that good stuff. And we also have overdose protection kits. So if you need those things, you can just fire me an email, let me know when you want to come pick it up, and I will put a bag on the door with whatever it is you need in it, and it's free. The STI clinic can be really hard to access right now. So I get it. If you need these things, please reach out. My email is angel@aspect.ca, and aspect again is aspecc.ca. We're going to kick over to a break, and I will be back right after this. Hey folks, welcome back. You are listening to Sex Talk. My name is Angel. I'm your host today. I use they and she pronouns. We were talking a bit about COVID and how it's impacted everything from, you know, our general anxiety to our physical health to our mental health to our livelihoods. And to that note, if you have even a dollar to spare, please head over to Aspec and look at our Support Us page. That's aspecc.ca/support-us, and check out the fundraising activities that are always going on there. We have a PayPal link, like, and I kid you not, like, every single dollar is so valued. We are really struggling to keep our doors open, and we know that once this pandemic is over, people are going to need the services that we provide, and we're going to miss the space if we lose it. So we're doing everything we can to keep the space. If you're somebody who has, you know, information about a grant or something, like, hit us up. We want to do everything we can to not put the burden on folks. Right now we have some sexy auctions going on. So if you're not connected with us on social media, please check us out on Twitter, aspec_CA, aspecc_CA, or on Facebook, Facebook.com/aspecc. So that's pretty cool. Now, if you don't want to go do all those hard things, we also have a texting gift number. So you can text us at 587-200-3979 and follow the prompts to text us a donation, which is super cool, so that you don't have to go navigate the website. Again, that number is 587-200-3979. And we appreciate the support. And to that end, I'd just like to shout out a couple of people who've been absolutely amazing. Robert, Greg, Jason, Amanda, Theo, just thank you so much for all your donations. We super appreciate your support and your love and ongoing stuff. So yay to the Aspect community for being so incredible. One of the advantages sexually to COVID-19 is how much things have moved online. A lot of our courses and meets have moved online, and that's been incredible. We've seen people from all over the world drop in on our queer supports, on our mental health supports, on our sex education classes, and I have no words for how amazing that is and how welcome you are to check out the events on our event page or follow us on Eventbrite so you have access to those things. We also have online workshops on everything from body language and being aware of how your body language can trigger a fear response in somebody who's experienced trauma, to how to talk to your kids about consent, to how to engage in kink. So feel free to check that out as well. Very exciting stuff. So yeah, I don't want to focus on COVID too much because I know everybody's hearing so much about that already, and I have definitely found that I had to remove myself from Facebook, and like, I deleted it off my phone and all my social media accounts off my phone. So for work, I actually go log into a program called Buffer where I can just load things up and I don't have to see all oppose, because I just can't deal with the ongoing onslaught of negativity. So don't be afraid to set boundaries to keep your own self healthy during this, mentally, not just physically, and know that you're not alone. Like, there's a lot of anxiety right now. Pardon me, just grabbing a sip of my coffee. What I do want to talk about is something I'm going to really struggle to be coherent while we're talking about it, but I want to talk about vaginal health. And for those who don't know, like, I'm a certified sex coach. So I did a year and a half of training in sexuality, and then I also got certified as a responder to sexual assault, and then I went and I took some trauma counseling courses, and then I added some sex education courses and like all that kind of stuff. And I'm registered with the American College of Sexologists as a sex educator. I also have a bachelor's in psychology, and I really focused on sexuality and gender side of things, both in criminology, sociology, and psychology, as well as a bit of biology in there to understand the integrativeness of what makes us the sexual beings that we are, and how that's, you know, cultured in our society, and how the law looks at it, and, you know, all these other things. So, and I'm not bragging about my degrees so much as trying to give you like a background that I feel fairly confident that I'm pretty educated when it comes to sexual health. I felt like I had a very good understanding of how my vagina works, and apparently not. And this is like one of those things that, like, I'm angry that this information that we're about to start talking about is so hush-hush in society. I'm angry that this information isn't included in any of the sexual health certifications that I've taken. And to be clear, like, I do Kegels. I even teach a yoga class for sexual health that's all about developing those Kegel muscles. Unfortunately, that's only part of the story. And the other part of the story is that our pelvic floor is a lot more than just those squeezing muscles that we use to stop the flow of urine. It's a very large area, and it connects, if you're somebody with a vagina, it connects the everything inside, keeps it in place, right? So your bladder, your cervix, your uterus, your rectum, the anal canal, the vaginal introitus, like all these things are held into place by this muscle. And it's not just, you know, you tighten one muscle and you've got the whole thing. Like, there's different areas of that muscle that you can work with that, you know, will change things. And I did not know that. I thought that if you could stop the flow of urine and then let it go, that you were controlling that muscle and away you go. And is that not typically what we're taught about Kegels? Right? Tighten and relax, just like having an orgasm. And in fact, I can tighten and relax that muscle and cause an orgasm, which is kind of fun, because it also connects to the clitoral tissue, so that's pretty cool. Now, I'm sure people have heard of prolapse, and when we think about vaginas and prolapse, we think of like the cervix coming out through the vagina, vaginal opening, the vaginal introitus, or like the vagina itself coming out through the opening, so that, you know, there would be like a bulge there. And like, how would you not notice such a thing? So I'm going to share a lot of information about my own personal health here, which is never something that I feel comfortable about, but I think it's really important that these conversations are had, because like, fuck stigma, we should be able to go and talk to our doctors and get accurate, good information about our health and what to do to sustain our sexual health, not just get STI testing and pap smears. So a few years ago, I started gaining weight. I have a thyroid condition called Graves' disease, and it had gone on past the point, like I went down to So like huge trigger warning, I'm going to be talking about weight loss and weight gain here for, and medical issues. But like I went down, I'm 5'4" and I went down to about 98 pounds and then just, I think I was gaining about 12 pounds a week for a while and just went up and up and up, and like they were testing all kinds of things. And because they had tested my thyroid before, but not checked the TSH, they were only checking the TH4, and my TSH was off. And apparently my normal for TH4 is like right on the edges of normal. So when it changed, it looked like it was okay. But if you were looking at my whole medical history, you would have seen that like it was vastly different. Now, at the time I was living in Fort St. John, and there's very few doctors up there, and trying to find continuity in healthcare is really challenging. So you're always seeing a different doctor, nobody's familiar with your files, so it's a real problem. So whatever, but they radiated the thyroid and, you know, they put you on Synthroid, but like, things never really go back to where they were. And then plus, you know, I hit middle age, I was going to school, so I was spending a lot of time on my ass, and my body changed the way bodies do as we get older and change our activities and whatnot. So I thought that the changes I was noticing inside my vagina were due to the change in body size and to, you know, the way my body weight was distributing differently, and didn't really think much of it. Then a couple of years ago, I started experiencing pain after orgasming and like back pain, like labor type pain after orgasming. And then that was followed like months later, that was followed by real irritation around the sensitive tissues of the labia and the anus. And I talked to my doctor about it, and they pretty much wrote it off to perimenopause because, you know, at the time I was in my 40s. Well, I'm still in my 40s, I'm 49, but, you know, younger 40s. And you know, hormones change, so things change. The tissue thins, like all kinds of stuff. So they told me to use more lube to, you know, recognize that your sex drive goes down as you get older. And I was like, well, but my sex drive's not going down. I still think about sex all the time. I still want to be intimate with my partner. I still crave that physical intimacy, but my body isn't accommodating it. You know, like anal's out because it always feels like I have microfissures because of the stinging sensation on the tissues there, no matter how much lube we use. And my doctor is pretty good at talking about sex, but if I get nervous, they get nervous. Like, it's actually kind of interesting. So like, I have to be very careful not to get upset when I'm talking to her. And, you know, hoping that eventually we're going to find a doctor who can be sex positive without the hand holding, because sometimes I need my hand held, right? But the pain, she told me, was psychological and probably related to sexual trauma that I had experienced years before. And I was like, well, I don't think so. You know, like I don't agree. I think there's something wrong. And she did an exam, but I don't have any hemorrhoids or anything like that. So don't know what to say about the sensitivity around the anus. And she didn't notice anything going on with my vagina that we needed to be worried about. So sent me home as a very unsatisfied client. Then a few months down the road, I started experiencing an increase in incontinence. And I've had 3 children, all delivered vaginally. And after I had the kids, like you experience that, right? Like you laugh and you pee a little. But it goes away because I do Kegels, right? I stop and start the flow of my urine. I do Kegels. Like I said, I can tense those muscles until I orgasm. It's kind of a fun trick. And I thought I had this covered. Turns out I'm only exercising the muscle that's just up from the vaginal introitus. I'm not tensing the entire pelvic floor. And I had no idea. So that's interesting. I have a perifit, so I'm going to be using that to be able to measure what you're tensing. If you're not familiar with ParryFit, go check it out, because you actually play like a game where you get like a creature that has to fly, and you control what level they're flying at by whether you're squeezing or releasing and how hard you're squeezing. And that's interesting. And apparently, starting and stopping the flow of urine is a way to test to see if you can control that part of those muscles. But it is not a good way to do the exercise, because it actually trains your body to not be able to hold in the flow of urine. And that was depressing. But yeah, so like that increased to where it wasn't just laughing or, you know, sneezing, but like for no reason. You know, you go to the bathroom and then you go to walk out of the bathroom and you're leaking fluids. And it's like, well, where'd that even come from? Like, I emptied my bladder. So very frustrated with that. And as you can imagine, that makes any kind of oral sex really uncomfortable. My partner doesn't have a urine fetish, and you know, as I've talked about before on the show, I struggle with making messes, because you know, sex should be clean and pretty with rainbows and fireworks and stuff, because good girls aren't messy. Which, by the way, is absolute bullshit. Sex is messy and it makes sounds, and like that's just how it is. But I still have that little naggy voice in the back of my head that I'm trying to kick out. So I went and talked to the doctor again, and they were like, well, you know, you're getting older. And I'm like, no, like, I'm not even 50. Like, you should be able to walk down the street without wetting yourself. Like, this isn't right. And I was also talking about how I was starting to feel discomfort just from having sex. And I'm not talking about, oh, we didn't use enough lube, because we like our lube. We really like our lube. It's a lot of fun. And we have different kinds of lube because, you know, as my hormones shift, different lube works better than other lube. So we know what works for us. But even with a lot of lube and having gentle sex, which isn't my thing to begin with, like, I don't like being treated like I'm made of delicate china. That actually bothers me. So I like, you know, passionate sex. I want to feel how aroused you are. I want to throw each other around in bed. Like, let's have a good time. And, but even with like that extra precaution, being super gentle, making sure there's lots of lube, it hurts to be penetrated. And I mean, my partner, no complaints with their body parts, but we're not talking about a 12-inch wide penis. Like, this isn't, I've been with the same person for 7 years. Like, I should still be comfortable having sexual intercourse. And that wasn't working. So the doctor checked and I was like, well, everything looks fine to me. Maybe the high metal ring is the problem. And I've had 3 kids. So the high metal ring should not be a problem. But finally, I got referred to a urologist who specializes in vaginal health, and they sent me some homework, and lo and behold, I found out that this is a form of prolapse. So, interesting. And I'm going to kick us over to break, which is good, because I need to, like, compose myself, but I will be back shortly and we're going to talk about how to recognize when that's happening, what you can do to prevent it, and then what the therapies are and why this information isn't included in normal sexual health. So I'll be right back after this break. Hey everybody, you're listening to Sex Talk. This is Angel and we're talking about what the fuck's going on with my vagina. I'm the sex educator at Alberta Sex Positive Education and Community Center. You can find us at aspecc.ca. You can find me at Shameless Consulting or Empowered Hearts. Both of those are my websites. And I also make erotic candles, which are low temperature candles you can drip on people. And you can find that at Arope Devil, which is a rope and then devil but with two e's.com, all one word, and we actually have a sale on right now, so you should check it out. And we donate quite a bit of money to Aspect to keep them open from that company. So when we left off, we were talking about the inadequacy of sexual health education in regards to vaginal health. And the things that we do learn in sexual health training is that lubrication is necessary, even if the body is producing lots of its own lube, because otherwise you can get microfissures, and microfissures increase your risk of STIs if you're having unprotected sex. That if you contract HPV, it increases your risk for cervical cancer. That we need to get pap smears to look for abnormalities to ensure that, you know, we're reducing the risk of cervical cancer and that kind of thing. What we don't talk about is that it is normal for muscles to get weaker as we get older, particularly if we're not exercising them properly. And there are some things that can increase the risk of vaginal, pelvic floor decay, I guess, pelvic floor atrophy. Poor posture is actually one of them. So slouching, not standing up straight, that kind of thing can acerbate it. So we want to keep our core strong. We also want to make sure that we know what muscles we're tensing. Most people are tensing the muscles just inside the vaginal introitus. But you should be able to feel those muscles. If you put two fingers in the vagina, you should be able to feel those muscles squeeze along the entire bit of the vagina, of the fingers, not just the base of your fingers that are closer to the opening. You should be able to stop the release of gas, and you should be able to stop or flow the urine halfway through emptying your bladder, but don't do that as an exercise because it can actually increase your risk of incontinence. And there's a whole bunch of information that I'm going to give you access to here. There is physiotherapy for this kind of stuff, but what you want to know is that you're not just tightening the pelvic floor, you want to squeeze those muscles and then try to lift them. So squeeze and lift. And if you're sitting right now, regardless of what body parts you have, you should be able to squeeze. So you're tightening the base of your groin, right? Like where it connects with the chair, so along the anus and the perineum, and if you have a vagina, the vaginal introitus, tense, and then you want to picture lifting that muscle up inside, and that is the base for doing those exercises. So you want to lift, and you don't want to tighten your legs, your bottom, or your tummy when you do it. You want to just concentrate on that. Do not push down. And keep breathing. We want all of our other muscles relaxed, and we want to just tighten and pull up without tightening our belly or our butt. A lot harder than it sounds, isn't it? So lift and tighten, slow hold, relax. And it needs to be done like that. You can check out, there's a link, albertahealthservices.ca/info/capital P page 10693.aspx. I will leave that in the comments. And if you click on patient education, there are a whole bunch of videos, physical education, physiotherapy, what your pelvic floor is, what a prolapse is, what urinary incontinence is caused by. And that's not just leaking, but also if you're experiencing a weird urine flow where your urine splashes or points in a weird direction or any of those things, that's indicative of your pelvic floor experiencing atrophy. So we want to make sure that we're preventing prolapse. And that we tighten up the ligaments that have stretched. Because they do. It's exciting. If those things don't work, and here's where I started to get really angry. But you can do physiotherapy. You also want to make sure that you're not constipated and stuff, because all of this stuff works together, right? Impacts your sexual health, impacts your pelvic floor, impacts your bladder, your colon, your even your digestion can be impacted, which is startling to me. High impact activities and heavy lifting can also increase the risk of your pelvic floor becoming weaker. I was in the army for several years, and then I was an exotic dancer, and then I did weightlifting and like all these things. And then heavy impact, of course, made me giggle. Trigger warning here, but weight gain does increase your risk for these things. There is health at every size, so it's not that if you gain weight, you're guaranteed to have this issue, but more weight pressing on this muscle does mean it takes more to keep it healthy. Treatment options can include pelvic floor training, which is what we're just talking about. It can also include using a pessary, which is an insertable dildo, basically designed to retrain things to stay where they're supposed to stay, or surgery. And surgery is the one that really made me angry, because you can opt to get your vagina sewn shut to keep things where they need to be. And typically they like you to be at least 80 to do this, because apparently at 80 you no longer need sex. So I was pretty pissed off about this. So I can choose to get my vagina sewn shut, but I can't get a hysterectomy. Women, cis women, fight to get tubal ligations done before they've had three kids. And I had had three kids, and my doctor called my ex-husband to make sure he knew. Which is, you know, pretty standard, unfortunately. So if your vagina is only there for your pleasure, fuck it. Get it removed, I guess. So yeah, I'm pretty bitter about that. I'm also bitter that this isn't included information in standard sex ed on what the pelvic floor muscles are, how to exercise them properly. I mean, we teach kids, teenagers, how to play racquetball, but we can't teach them how to keep their sexual organs healthy. Like, grr, I'm angry about it. But yeah, so like that's a thing. And as I'm sure you all can guess, this is about not viewing female sexuality as important. And if you don't believe me that's a thing, you go get on Google Scholar and try to find information on female ejaculation. Good luck. Doctors are still arguing over whether or not the G-spot is real. I don't know what to tell you, but we know a lot about the sexual health of a penis, and very little is openly talked about when it comes to the sexual health of somebody with a vagina and a uterus. And access to healthcare for people with a vagina and a uterus is restricted. In some places, you have to fight to access medications that can be seen as only about pleasure or restricting the ability to conceive a child. Pardon me. Or even to deal with a utopic pregnancy, never mind an unwanted pregnancy or an accidental pregnancy. And even my doctor, when I talked to her about my concerns about these videos that I was watching, and a huge trigger warning, like if you go to look at these videos, they use the word woman constantly, like they don't realize that some men have vaginas. I complained already to Alberta Health, and they are in the process of updating these videos to be more reflective of what we understand now about gender and sex. But of course, that takes time, and they're a government organization, so good luck with that. But just so you know, and you're prepared when you go into it, health for people includes their sexuality. And that's not to say that people who aren't having sex can't be healthy. I know lots of people who are celibate. I know people who choose to limit their sexual activity, and that's totally fine. Like, we need to make those choices for ourselves. But that my doctor was unaware of some of these issues. How is she supposed to provide healthcare for someone with a vagina and a uterus if all of those symptoms put together, pain on penetration, cramping after an orgasm, stinging sensation on the labia and the anus, discomfort with the friction involved with sexual intercourse, incontinence, and talking about how my vagina felt weird. Like, it just felt more full to me, which was weird. And apparently it's because the bladder is pressing in to the vaginal canal. So it is fuller. Not cool. Like, your doctor should be able to recognize these things, and this should be part of sexual health. That's just how that is. But we don't view women as sexual beings in our society. And we don't view sexual health as important. And to me, that's a real problem. So anyways, what the fuck's going on with my vagina? Now you've got all the TMI you could ever hope for. I know I'm not the only one. I put up a blog post about this without the rant about COVID. And, you know, that was very well received by people. So thank you for your support and whatnot. And I got hundreds of messages from people going, I've had this experience too. Or I experienced another aspect of incontinence because of, you know, hyperactive bladder, or, and it took them forever to diagnose it. And people talking about endometriosis, which we could have another hour-long rant about. So I just want you to know that your sexual health is absolutely important and valuable, and that we need to pressure our medical communities into being more educated about these things, and need to make sure that we stay informed about our bodies. So I'm going to be adding information about the pelvic floor into our sexual health class. Hope to see you out at it. And I'm like feeling really shy right now, so I'm just going to log out. But thanks for listening to Sex Talk, and a huge thank you to GTFO for continuing to offer us a platform to share Sex Talk. And thanks to all the volunteers and supporters of Aspect. And again, you can reach out and support us at aspect.ca/support-us, or you can text us at the number I shared, which I don't have open anymore, sorry. But hopefully everybody has a sex positive day, and keep your vaginas healthy.